I'd first of all like to thank everyone for the support that you give to us through your practice, through your part of this community, however steady or haphazard or whatever, that's up to you. There's no way to do this correctly. Thank you for coming. Tonight's Dharma talk is titled, Can't Fix It. That's C-A-N apostrophe T-F-I-X-I-T. Can't fix it. So what am I referring to there? This is done with awareness, not with a thought process. The thought process can do great things. It can build pyramids. It can build empires. But nothing lasts. Anything that is compounded comes apart eventually. So therefore, any success story, I don't care how wonderful your intentions, any success story is going to fall apart eventually. And the thing about taking that approach is action based on relative truth, which is relatively true, works for a while. So this would, you might say, well, you can do fix it for a little while, but the fundamental issue, the suffering that we go through, the anxiety, the difficulty that we run into sometimes with no apparent cause at all, just suddenly we are immersed in intense difficulty, suffering, and pain of alternation, the pain of the composite. Those are the three ways that this is described. And also, as I was saying, thank you for helping us in so many ways, including financially. We need help. Please continue, if you can, to do that. If you can't do that, well, don't let that stop you from attending or studying the Dharma or practicing. Can't fix it. You can do stuff to it. You can occupy yourself. You can... The ego mind, the self-centered mind, the seventh consciousness, as is talked about in the Yogacara tradition, can actually accomplish and do and see progress and evaluate and come to conclusions. We all know this, don't we? We're always thinking we're getting somewhere. And then we say, well, not really. Well, maybe if I did this and did that. The whole world is doing that kind of practice, that kind of rationale or that kind of analysis and logic and so on. I'm not against that, but I'm saying if you're interested in the ultimate, your ultimate nature, which you could live the rest of your life, and until you come where the body mind starts to collapse and go back into the elements, fire, earth, water, air, that's all this is made of. Consciousness does not have it does not exist. It non-exists. Without consciousness, you don't have a phone, you don't have a clock, you don't have a computer, you don't have a forehead, you don't have anything. This all comes out of consciousness. It all comes out. It is the illusion that you have to see. If you don't see this as an illusion, it's not like it's wrong or you're going to be punished necessarily, but it might be a rough journey, especially when you find you keep coming back to the same place where you started, with the idea of making progress. Well, it is possible for you to see fundamentally what this is. The classical way of talking about this is called, in the Yogacara tradition, or the eight consciousnesses, it's a turning around or turning about at the basis of consciousness. Still a bunch of relative stuff, but it's like that. It's like there just isn't anything else but this. And all of the things, including all of your memories and your beliefs, your opinions, and all that jargon, it doesn't go away. You just see that it's not real and it is no longer running your life. What is running your life? Nothing is running your life. You have to see it. Without wisdom, compassion cannot arise. I'm not talking about feeling sorry for people, that kind of compassion. That kind of compassion is relative. It will also go away. then it's compassion is not a feeling. Wisdom is not a thought pattern. Wisdom doesn't see anything but wisdom. If you wanted to know what wisdom's looking at, but it sees wisdom by realizing that everything that shows up in the mind stream, including the mind, vision, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, all of that is unreal. It's there, it's vivid, and it's there. And you feel it because of the nerve endings. But this is unreal. Seems real. We hurt ourselves. We torture ourselves. Sometimes others trying to convince us that we can have some kind of a say-so about this, that we can squeeze some happiness out of some sorrow, or that we can fix it. Something's wrong, we can fix it. Don't fix it. Can't fix it. This is why it's so important to train your mind. You may not do it the way I'm teaching it, but find some way. It's not with this teacher. Find some way where you can see fundamentally what this is. Not just a belief system, not just Buddhism, not just any ism or any school. You might need those structures to actually hold the whole basket of wrenches together. But sometimes what it feels like, you have all these wrenches and there's no nuts. I have a tool, but I don't know what it fits. Don't settle for any conclusion. Anytime you have a conclusion, you just watch the conclusion come up about something. And if you don't second the opinion or second the motion, it will start to come apart because it's based on relative truth. It's based on a pack of lies called relativity that are what? Relatively true, but ultimately untrue. It's possible to do this. It's possible to see, to appear, to smell, taste, touch, and have all of those show up and still be receiving a consciousness without filters, without scrim, without screens, without walls of the mind. Just receive. It's just a straight, direct reception that comes about if you practice. And practice on your own mind. Receive what happens in your mind, as I said in the instruction. If it's showing up in your mind, it's supposed to be there. I don't care how it feels or what your ideas, your opinions, or your judgments, your evaluations are. If it shows up, it's dependently arisen. It is without a self and without an other. And if there is a self and an other showing up, those are unreal. And they're temporary. And they're based on all the other conditions that are real, unreal, and temporary. You might say, you might ask me, well, how can you possibly know that? I don't know it. I don't know. I don't have any knowledge about it. Although there's a lot out there that presents itself as knowledge, and that's valuable also. Sometimes we need to have those stair steps. We need to have some kind of a place to get to conceptually so that we can continue. Just like the five skandhas, something it might take a while to understand what that is and why even have such a thing. Or the 12 links on the chain of existence, to use a couple of very strong and very valuable provisional teachings. I can say some more about that, but I also would like very much to respond to your questions, maybe go in an area that I might miss by just chattering away, but you might be able to ask a question that will take us deeper into this material. That's what I want to do. When I say don't fix it, that doesn't mean there aren't things to fix relatively. Of course, you have a job that might involve repairing furniture. Relative, but the fundamental understanding of what life is, what consciousness is, seems to be necessary to do it with the consciousness.
Junshu Valley.
Junshu.
If we're working on a relative fixing, like a health concern or trying to exercise, can we or should we bring in some sort of fundamental
into that?
Yeah.
No. The main focus is to hold still and watch what the mind does when it has no object. Sit down, hold still, and just watch the thoughts come and go and observe them coming and going. And the practice is not to endeavor, not to add, subtract, divide. Don't accept anything. Don't reject anything. Don't ignore anything. And it takes a while, because quite often what happens is we see how we just can't do that. We can't just, as the conventional saying goes, be in the now or be in the present moment, because there's a constant churning up of thoughts about a fear of the future, a regret about the past. All of those memories are coming along and churning up to create the illusion that there is a separate being who is actually here and is alive and has some kind of an agenda around success and failure. But yes, you should continue to do all of the relative things. You don't have to move into a monastery. You don't have to move to the top of a mountain and go into a little cabin and stay there for the rest of your life. You can do it right in the middle of this, right in the middle of the world. You can do it in the middle of Michigan. You can do it in Kansas, Arkansas. You could do it in Iran. Louder, Sano, please.
Sano, bowing. I'm currently going after two states in particular for their treatment of minority people.
Yes.
I'm wondering, what is compassion there? You said compassion's not a feeling. What is compassion?
So the idea of compassion, I'm not taking away feelings or sympathy or caring about people, but I'm saying the fundamental understanding of compassion is it's just the way it's been described is wisdom is stillness and compassion is movement. But there's nothing moving. There's nothing holding still. That has gone out of it. And so therefore one can function completely and thoroughly as a bodhisattva, or as an enlightening being, or possibly even as a Buddha. More if you have it.
Sanhubao, and when I go after these state governments for screwing over disabled people,
yes,
what does compassion look like toward them in that moment?
Just help them. It's not complicated at all. You're an attorney. You're going after people who are abusing disabled people. Am I correct in paraphrasing in that? Just do it. Second thoughts about it are actually, you don't need them. You already know what you're doing. You know who you're talking to. You know what their dynamic is. You know what those people are chained by, their belief in power, money, whatever. And you know what the people that you're helping are trapped by. They're at the mercy of those people. So you're going in there to work on it. Just be very clear about what you're doing, that it's not about right and wrong. No one is incorrect. It's fundamentally, it's just people are suffering, and the only way they know how to get out of it is to download that suffering on others. It's called power. Sometimes it happens right in a family, right in a home. Sometimes one of the parents just cannot help but abuse their own children because they are so terrified of not having any power. More? Tunnel? Yes. Junshu.
Are you saying the teaching of can't fix it only applies to the spiritual path, not the relative path?
Well, yeah. You can fix a lot more. But you can't fix the fundamental difficulty of suffering. And there are people fixing lawnmowers all the time. There are people repairing roofs in the physical realm, this realm of illusion. The three realms, the sixth realm, the human realm, and the other five. It's just very, very difficult. But yes, you can, as it says in the Zen tradition, the fancy way of saying it, before awakening, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. But the important thing is attain attain enlightenment or realize your true nature by seeing the way you continually cover up the truth. It's just about witnessing that cover up that will eventually cause that cover up to just come apart, because it is based on the illusion of things being solid or real or dependable, and they are not. It's a ultimate, I think it was Pema Chodron, one of her books, 20, 30 years ago, was The Wisdom of Insecurity. So being insecure is actually leads to a deeper investigation of what is this? Who are we? What are we doing? What is our life about? So if you're on this path, you've received a Roksu, your intention is to be with all things, starting with your own mind stream. Don't kill any of your thoughts. Don't torture yourself with anything. Just receive. Whatever shows up in your mind, whether it's pain, whether it's pleasure, whether it's neutrality, it needs to be there. Be respectful to the confusion. Have respect for that, because you're not going to realize your true nature if you're fighting with confusion, because this is what the world is doing. You can do that. Just receive it. It sucks, to put it bluntly, but you can do it. Just do it anyway. Go ahead.
Jinchu Bowing. It seems like I use this teaching to get out of things, like if I'm trying to work on some exercising or something relative.
Okay.
I might tell myself, I can't really fix it, or I can't really change it to make myself feel better if I fail at it or something. Is there a way? Is that disrespecting the teaching somehow to try to use it to apply it to a relative situation?
No, do whatever you need to do. It's going to show up differently for different people. Some people need to live in the monastery and be monks. There's no promotion. I don't promote that at all. And if you come here and want to do that, I probably will argue with you. Maybe send you away or say, really, you should do something else. But if you need to be here, you'll know it and you'll be sure of it. And then we'll share that together. And I'll say, yes, you need to be here. I'm all about meeting you here. I'm also all about meeting your people on the screen here. I've never met face to face. But that doesn't mean that they're any further away necessarily from the teaching. So you should just do whatever you need to do. The important thing is get to the wall, get to the cushion, study the Dharma with Sangha. You can study it on your own somewhat, but try to study it with other people a little bit so you can get a feeling for how the issues that other people have with practicing the Dharma that you may not have at all. More.
Right now.
Yes.
When you're bowing, will we know if we're receiving bowing?
I think somewhat. It feels disappointing to the ego, to the self-centered part of the narcissistic part of mind, to just receive, because we want to produce something. We want to be somebody who's doing something valuable rather than just feeling like kind of useless, like you're just listening, useless. You're just smelling, tasting, touching, feeling. You're just feeling useless. It does not support a central bureaucracy called ego. What supports the central bureaucracy called ego is power, success, control, and concepts, ideas, being right, being correct. And if you are wrong, recover from it quickly.
Nathan Bowing.
Nathan.
There are certain situations where I'm frustrated, a lot of times with myself, and I become angry. But it might be in a situation like a leadership situation,
yes,
situation in my business where I actually have to respond. And I don't necessarily have that space just to receive.
What's the question?
The question would be like how to deal with that kind of situation.
There you have it. Just the word situation is so situational. And I don't know what it's like to be you, you know, like that. But I think if you just remain direct, don't do anything that you don't have to do. So don't necessarily live up to anybody's bullshit standards about anything. And you know what to do. You'll know what to do, especially much meditation as I've seen you doing. I would say you probably are much closer to understanding this question, the response to this question yourself. Follow me a little bit. Not knowing is how it feels. To not know, not be secure. Like I was quoting the book title there, Wisdom of Insecurity. It's I don't sit up here feeling like I know anything. But people want my help, and I'm going to come here as much as I can, even though I don't know what to do. When I say I don't know what to do, I share that with everyone. I don't know what to do. I couldn't help you if I were separate from how you felt. So when you talk like that, I know how that feels. I would say just do it anyway, function. Get your butt to the wall, sit down, hold still, and watch the insanity of the mind come and go and come and go. Do not fix it. Don't fix anything. Because the very thing that you try to get rid of or fix is tied into that part of the confusion that is called belief in a separate self. But just let it fall apart. Let it fall apart. Be the word I would use is just be a failure. But don't stop practicing and don't start meeting people where they're at insofar as you can. What does that mean? Listen to them. Say very little. I'm saying a lot sitting up here. But that's the position I found myself in, is functioning in this way. But you don't have to do that. In those situations you're talking about, just meet them right where they're at. More?
Thank you.
I think you're doing great. It's not a compliment. Anyone on Zoom like to... Naveed.
Naveed Bowen. When you say enlightenment is stillness and compassion is motion in stillness, how is motion related to compassion, Bowen?
So there seems to be some kind of movement in that area, in the stillness, but there's nothing moving. But if there's someone who is asking or is in front of you that needs some kind of support or help, the movement will show up as it needs to relative to that, because it's coming out of wisdom, not coming out of thinking somebody is screwed up or needs $500. So it comes out of the stillness. More if you have it. Don't hesitate.
Not right now. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You don't.
You know, Bowen, when you say be genuine and you can just be yourself, it seems like there are things that are not helpful about being myself that I want to change. Is that...
We don't do those things. Have I told her that before? Listen to what you just said. In fact, repeat what you just said. Can you?
In being genuine or being yourself, if there are things about yourself that seem unhelpful or unsupportive.
Yes, but don't do those. But the being yourself doesn't mean that it validates any activity that shows up, just because, like, the what is the saying? I just have to be me kind of thing that people sometimes who want to do destructive things. I just have to be me. So receive that. Don't fix that, as the title of this talk is. Don't repair it. Don't fix it. But look closely at the texture of that. Look at the shape of that which draws to it the conversation or the commentary of, this is wrong. I shouldn't be doing that. So rather than get wound up in the commentary, which is what the ego mind wants us to do because it's circular, go right into the what, haywire, go right into the ball of confusion and just hang out there. Go right into that and rest there. Rest in the confusion. Because confusion and wisdom are not two different things. They just look like it. And they will look like it until you realize your true nature. And at that point, you will no longer divide anything. You may watch a lot of division going on in front of you, but you won't divide it. So whatever rises is dependently risen. There's no one to blame. Excuse me. That's why it seems to be valuable to just watch the structure of the confusion rather than become a person who doesn't want to dump that confusion on others. Am I getting close to what you're asking about? So just look at be responsible for the confusion.
Yeah, I still want to ask, will it go away? And I know that's not
the point. It could go through some changes, but you've heard me say this 15 or 20 times, you won't care if it goes away. If there's no self anymore. In other words, like anymore is a way of saying it. It never was a self, so it doesn't have to disappear. It's just that if the self that arises as me and my fear and my hope and my difficulty with life or with my relationships or my social situation or whatever it may be, you see that is unreal. So you don't have to get rid of it because it's unreal. It's like I sometimes use the image of a clown on the roof. It's still around. It still looks funny. It still thinks it's real, pinching its own nose to prove that it's somebody, but it's on the roof, doesn't have much access to you. But if it does fall through the roof and fall in your lap, because you practice, because you no longer grasp in your awareness and you no longer push in your awareness and you no longer shut down, you're not separate from anything or anybody anywhere. And it's not an accomplishment. If it's an accomplishment, it will fade. If you think you're enlightened or if you think you're somehow a compassionate being, if you're saying to yourself, well, at least I'm compassionate, you're just bullshitting yourself. This doesn't mean that you aren't a nurse or aren't somebody that dedicates your life to helping others. Of course, it could be any number of things like that, that as far as the fix-it area, relative truth, you could be very, very helpful, but you could still be just full of yourself and maybe help people at the hospital and torture your family. More? I know you're thinking about something else, so I'm not sure if you have more or not.
Yeah, Bonnie, I don't think I have anything else, but yeah. Thank you.
I was watching you. Where were you? Where was your mind going as I was talking
to you? You said maybe you work at the hospital and you're a nurse, and I was kind of like, is Bean here? I didn't see her.
Yoon's a different.
I started wondering where she.
She's a different kind of cloud.
Missing.
The further questions.
Sent you, Bowing. How do we allow things to fall apart when there's a lot to relatively maintain?
I think we do it on the cushion. Get to the cushion. Watch things show up and watch them come apart and don't repair anything, don't fix anything. Allow the negativity that shows up in the mind to come and do whatever it wants. And you do that by holding the body still without being rigid and just observe in the mind stream whatever's coming and going. So things show up, things get worse, get better. Just watch that. That which is observing isn't doing anything. It's just receiving, receiving, receiving. And so you might get up off the cushion and go into your practice as a therapist or into your family situation or into the Sangha, the family of the Sangha, which is here also where you live. And that may be more challenging. More if you have it, please.
It's showing up.
Okay.
Adriana Bowing.
Adriana.
So, Kusan, you've often said that if you feel the pain of the world, that it could destroy you?
Could.
Could you feel the pain of the world and not be destroyed by it?
Yes, if there's no one there. If there's no central authority anymore in the mind stream, which is a common word for that is ego, narcissism, self-centeredness, the oligarch inside the mind, which is oligarch isn't always a particularly mean or unfriendly. It's just an interior dictator or demon that wants control, and it will fight for it. It'll blame, and it will fight. I'm not sure if I went too far away from what it was you wanted to know. Maybe you could ask the question again or paraphrase yourself.
Yes. If one feels the pain of the world and doesn't grasp at it, will it move on?
Well, everything moves on. We're in nature of impermanence. So things are moving on. You know, there are no guarantees of any of that. It's so incredibly complicated. Dependent origination, pratitya, samuppada, an ancient teaching. It's just very difficult to do anything with it other than just receive it. It's like the image I sometimes use. It's like trying to fix anything in the world where everything is chaotic and dangerous, and not everywhere. Some places are not so bad on the earth. But it's like looking at a landslide. It started way before any of us even got here. And we're just looking at the central part of it. And it's going to keep going. There's no way you can step in there. I'm not saying you can't do something, but to try to step in there with a protest sign is, I'm just using that. I'm not taking any of the value away from someone who wants to do that with their life. I would just, if someone came and wanted to do that, I would say, go do it. If you move to do that, then maybe that's what you should be doing. Not only maybe, probably should be doing that. Don't miss your life. Do what you need to do with your life. It may not even be practice. I'm not here to talk you into meditating. If you've meditated for a few years, you know how hard this is. Not a path for everyone. But if it's for you, if you want to do this, then I'm all about supporting you, helping you. Landslide started back here, and the present moment is this little sliver in the center of the landslide where it's coming down and it's going the rest of the way down the mountain, whatever may be your image. It's the idea of being aware of that, not stopping it. Go ahead, Adriana.
Should one endeavor to lose hope that the suffering will end?
So I don't really work with those two if I can help it. I sometimes get trapped in hope and fear. But those two are polarized. So you can't have one without the other. That's the very nature of duality, is if you grasp one, the other one starts to show up. That's why if you go to peace, if you keep grasping at peace and trying to make everything peaceful, you're ignoring all of the dependent origination that shows up as what? Warfare. So you can't just be peaceful. Otherwise, you're just setting up, you're just participating in that thing. You want to go to peace, then look at the warfare in yourself. This is the war that needs to be looked at, not stopped, not fixed. Awareness. That's the only way that this can eventually show up as wisdom, is by being aware. You can do that. And as far as it going away, as I've said just a little while ago, I was saying you won't care because you realize that there's no solid being anywhere, and that whatever is arising is dependently arisen, might have a first cause somewhere, but even first cause is an illusion because the whole thing is unreal. And if you're listening to me now, and you think that something I'm saying or I'm missing something, please don't hesitate. Come and fix me. Come and correct me. I would be served. We all would be served by you being as genuine as possible. I'm doing the best I can here. And at the same time, I see what a big dope I am. Further questions?
Neil Cavalli.
Yes, sir.
I have a question on YouTube from Wes G.
Who?
WESJI. Wes G. Or Best G, I'm not sure. Sokazan, as you see it, what's the rainbow body?
It's just it just symbolizes. Is there a rainbow body? There's rainbows. The rainbow is not a thing. I mean, it appears. So I think that's why that is used. And because of all the different colors in it, it represents all the different directions that consciousness can go and take up. Does consciousness eventually show up as a rainbow body? Probably. So I'm not sure if that's what you want to know, but I can say that you're looking at it, not just here, not just this, but you're looking at it in your life, in your mirror, in your transportation, mode of transportation, in your relationships. It's always completely full, colorful. It's a way of talking about relative truth without putting one thing against another. It's without red arguing with blue. Is there further questions?
Yeah, but in looking at, as Adriana was just saying, looking at the suffering of the world, it just seems to be overwhelming.
Yes.
And yet, and begs to be fixed. Everywhere we look, it looks like we should be fixing things.
Yes, and people are doing that. If you listen to the news, the one side and the other side, and some want to fix it by controlling everything, that only I can fix it kind of thing. And then others want to relate to it by having everything be what? Democratic. So everybody is included. So everybody gets to have a say so about what we're doing with our lives and how we're educating people. Other people want to tell us. They think somebody needs to be in control of this because there's people aren't, for whatever reasons, power. Question, if you have it, please.
When you're bowing, it just seems like time is short.
It is.
And the need is dire as we stand witnessing the horrors of genocide or inhumanity to others.
What's the question?
I'm looking at it. How is it that just sitting and training our mind is helpful?
So, okay, here it comes. You are not separate from anything. This is an illusion that I'm over here, you're over there, and the people in Gaza are over there. This is Gaza. Gaza, Ukraine, the insane Congress of the United States. Find it here. This is where you need to look at it. How do I know that? I don't have a relative knowing about it. I'm looking at it, and I teach out of what I'm looking at, not what I think. I don't think much, although I could be forced into it. So train your mind. You actually have access to everyone right here. Sit down wholesale, watch the mind stream, get to know this really well, and there's a possibility you will realize your true nature, which in our tradition is called Buddha nature, awakened nature, or Buddha Dharma, awakened truth. What is the awakening? The awakening is to no longer sleep, awaken to what is the nature of reality. It's not just body minds coming into existence, passing out, coming in, passing out, living and dying. 12 links on the chain of existence, going on and on, sickness, aging, and death, sickness, aging, birth, and all the other, right up to sickness, and sickness, aging, and death. And then we're back again with another it's another bag of tools with no bolts.
And your body, but that kind of awakening that you described seems to be limited to just a few.
Well, as long as there's a relative world that we're in, this illusion, this the idea of limitation is going to be there. But this is available to everyone. Everyone can awaken. Will they? Probably not. You may need to awaken for them. Sanho.
Sanho bowing. If a person awakens, can they still engage in trying to make things better?
Yes, they might even do a more efficient job of that, because they would be more clear about that, those parts of relative truth that are weighted down by gravity, are so hot you can't touch them, because they're already well on their way of going into non-existence. They're existing, and then they go into non-existence. So you might have a more clear idea of what you could actually do to fundamentally be helpful to someone. Just meeting someone where they're at, listening to them, talk about how they're doing, about their difficulties with their spouse or with their child, or with just receiving that, even though you might not have any advice or any recommendation. That is so powerful. Because there's so little of that going on. Usually people are receiving, they want to come right back and fix and repair and solve. And that's kind of what you're tied up into, being an attorney. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do that. Just do a lot of listening. More? Thank you for that question. Any more questions, or should we go elsewhere? Any questions on a Zoom anymore? Especially someone who's not asked a question.
Eric Bowing.
Eric, go ahead.
When the confusion shows up as disappointment or fear, how do we go directly into it? Bowing.
So... And you use the word directly. So the direct way is to look at it. And that may mean sitting down in front of a wall or in front of your closet door. It may mean that. Also may mean getting up and taking a walk and not doing that, not pushing that issue, living up to some kind of a credential of being more aware. So it might mean taking it. It might be talking to your neighbor, or your spouse, or your child, or someone else in your family. Might be interacting with others. It might be when that fear gets very, very intense, immediately turn your mind to how to serve others. Rather than getting swamped by it, when you have the fear, it's just like a big basket of stuff you're carrying around. And you might still have one hand free where you could help somebody. Help others. There are no others. It's empty of that, but you won't find that out unless you reach out to the others. It's also an illusion. You're welcome, sir. Is there another question? Yes, sir.
Sometimes you say that you don't think about your teaching while you're teaching. Do you ever think about it after you're done teaching?
Well, yeah, I got out here and I thought, oh my God, what have I said? Oh, and that one, and then I swore, and then that one question, when I respond to that was completely wrong. What are people going to think? Not much, but some along that line of about trying to, I can't even remember what I said. I don't know if you said, what was that talk about to me? I wouldn't be able to tell you. I would say, check with Uno. She writes everything down. And people record it. If I listen to what Baoshan has taken those hour-long talks and condensed them into 60 seconds, I listen to that. That doesn't sound like me talking. And it's not. It's Pauschmann. He's the one that's selecting everything. So it has something to do with his understanding of what it is I'm saying. I feel he does a pretty good job. If I didn't, I wouldn't let him do that with what I'm saying, because it's 60 seconds is not very long. But it is pretty good. Did I get close to what you were asking about?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure either. I don't really think much about anything. There's some thoughts going around, but it's pretty mundane, ordinary. You know, can I have some more eggs? When you say it's like that, you live with me. Do I have any thoughts about what I've been doing or saying? Or do I ever worry about what Yin Long is thinking?
Sometimes.
Oh, there's that one time. What will he think if he knew I was thinking this? What will people think about what I'm thinking if they knew what I was thinking about what they're thinking that I was thinking? I like to add that last one. Because it's like, if you look at it, it's like that. We think about what people are thinking about what we're thinking, that they're thinking about what we're thinking. And that works perfectly in ego. That's ego language. Are we done? Is there, Sano wants to go home. I can tell he's shaking his head. Is there a final question from, especially from someone who's not asked a question? Cindy, don't you ever ask questions? You should ask me a question someday. It doesn't have to be this year. We've got the whole summer to go through. But sometime, maybe in the late fall or something, you can ask me a question. I would love to hear your voice. Never heard it yet. Oh, that was that one time.
Cindy Bowing. Did you hear me?
Yeah, and you know.
Okay. I don't have a question, but I'll work.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. It's good to hear you say Cindy Bowing. Is there anyone else I can pick on? So Zoom user, what's your real name? Go ahead, tell me. She's not going to tell me. Aren't you going to tell me what your name is? Jen? It just says Zoom user on there. Can't hear you.
Sorry. Forgot Jen Bowing. Forgot to change my name.
I just changed your name. I just changed your name today. I just finished your rock suit. So that's done for. So you don't get to call yourself Jen anymore. at least in this group, you don't get to.
Fine with that.
Okay. It's a pretty good name. I don't know. We might have to check with Sanho to make sure.
Absolutely.
Sanho said absolutely before I even got his name out. So that shows you how good his ears are. Very good. If there's no more, is there a final question? Or we can just close right now. It's 7:05 in Michigan. Very good. Thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Shoto, and I am a monk at Sokokoji, where I am committed to training my mind under the guidance of my teacher, Sokozan. We rely on your support for much of what we offer here. This includes building projects to create space for full-time and part-time practice residents. Thank you for your help.